And now, young Widder Brown. In her constant efforts to separate her brother, Dr. Anthony Loring, from his fiancée, Ellen Brown, Anthony's sister, Victoria Loring, is planning with the rich widow, Louise Simpson, to take advantage of Ellen's being in a critical condition at Health Center Hospital. Their plan is to adopt a sympathetic attitude to Ellen and Anthony. And now, after lunching with Anthony, Victoria is back at the hospital in his office, where she is saying,
Anthony, I wish you could take my change of attitude in good faith. I mean it when I say I want to be Ellen's friend.
Victoria, I still feel that your attitude is changing only because Ellen is dangerously ill and you're superstitious.
May I see her, Anthony?
No, Victoria. As a matter of fact, the best thing for Ellen now is old friends. The people she knows who really love her. Superintendent of Nurses, Olivia McAvoy, Mariah Hawkins, Noreen Temple. Neither you, Victoria, nor Louise Simpson are in that category.
All right, Anthony. But you will accept my financial help for her.
I can't accept anything for Ellen. That's her business entirely. Look, Victoria, why don't you go back to Chicago?
Because I'd be lonely there, Anthony.
You have friends there?
You're my brother. I'm getting on in years and I want to be near you. I have no pride when I say that, because heaven knows you don't want me here. But I can't help it. I want to be near you.
Look, Victoria, the thing you don't seem to realize is that... Excuse me. Hello? Oh, yes, Mac. I'll come right away. It's Olivia McAvoy. She says she got a telephone call from the airport. Dr. Humphreys is there.
Oh, the man you...
Yes, Victoria, the man who's coming to operate on Ellen and remove the bullet that promises real danger.
Oh, Dr. Humphreys. I've heard the name.
He's exceptional, Victoria. I have all the faith in the world in him.
Is he expensive, Anthony?
I'm not thinking about that. He's the kind of doctor who doesn't worry about his fee. Look, Victoria, I want to go and talk to Olivia McAvoy before I get to meet him. Will you excuse me?
Yes, Anthony. And I may not see Ellen.
Oh, all right. See Ellen. She'll be angry at me if she finds out I turned you away. But don't upset her, Victoria. Do you hear?
And a little later, Victoria sits tentatively on the edge of a chair at Ellen's bedside, saying,
I have strict orders from Anthony not to upset you, Ellen. Of course, upsetting you is the last thing I've ever intended.
Anthony is edgy and nervous, Victoria. You mustn't let him bother you.
I don't. Only he has this strange attitude toward me. He seems to think that I've been very cruel to you in the past. Now, Ellen, I know that you and I have seldom seen eye to eye.
Victoria, I'm rather tired. Don't let's talk about things that have passed. Let's talk about nice things. The future.
That doctor's at the airport.
Oh, Dr. Humphrey?
He's very expensive, I imagine.
I've been figuring a few things out about the expense. I'll be all right.
Louise Simpson and I intend to pay for everything, Ellen.
Well, that's generous of you, Victoria, but after all, I can borrow on the tea room. I can manage.
You have to let Louise pay for it, Ellen, and me too. It's absolutely the only kind thing for you to do. Louise is responsible for this having happened to you, and you should let her pay the expenses.
I would rather pay my own bills, Victoria. I just don't want to be beholden to anyone.
Well, Ellen,
almost everything you and I start to talk about turns out to be an argument.
Only because you're stubborn, Ellen. Only because you're stubborn.
I'm sorry.
You know, people think you're very gentle. But actually, you have a will of iron.
Yes, Victoria.
And besides... Come in.
Well, good morning, Victoria.
Good morning, Olivia. Anthony said I could come here.
I know, he told me so. He also told me to come up and put you out in a reasonable length of time, which is what I'm doing.
I've only been here a very few minutes, Olivia.
I know, but I bet Ellen's pulse is up. Let's have it, Ellen.
You're a bully, Miss Mack.
That's all right. Seriously, Victoria, we don't let anyone stay more than 5 minutes or so. It isn't good for Ellen, and I know you want to do what is best for her.
Come again, Victoria.
If you want me to, Ellen, I will. However, I'm sure your other friends will take precedence over me. Goodbye, Olivia.
Goodbye, Victoria. What's she been doing to you, Ellen? Your heart's going like a trip hammer.
Just talking. But with Victoria, talking always becomes an argument.
Which is fine for you at this point. Now relax. Because Anthony's gone to the airport to fetch Dr. Humphreys. And we don't want you all upset when he arrives.
Well, I'll be good, Miss Mack. I promise you. I'll be very good.
You're a wonderful patient, Ellen. You're a joy to have. But we'll be very glad to get rid of you, nevertheless.
Miss Mack, do I stand a chance?
Of course you do, Ellen.
Telling Noreen Temple that the look in Anthony's eyes sometimes frightens me.
He loves you, Ellen, and he fears for you. If you weren't his girl, that look wouldn't be there. I'll get that. I hope you're not using the telephone too much.
Oh, I'm not. Just to say good morning to the children. Good night, that's all.
Hello?
Mac, Anthony Loring.
Well, where are you?
At the airport. Mac, do you recall a telegram from Dr. Humphreys or a letter or a communication of any kind?
Why, no, Anthony, I don't.
I don't either. Certainly never came over my desk. Certainly never... Well, that's beside the point.
Anthony, what's wrong?
Everything. How's Ellen?
Resting quietly. I got your sister Victoria out of here and calming Ellen down. Will you be here with Dr. Humphreys soon, Anthony?
He's not here, Mac.
What?
Don't tell Ellen, but the whole wretched thing has blown up in my face. I'll see you in a little while. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Is he on his way, Miss Mack? Is anything wrong?
No, no, Ellen. Everything's fine. The plane was a little late, I guess. Oh,
Anthony is so edgy. I was telling Victoria that. He really is very jumpy.
Well, it's understandable. Now then, how would you like me to give you an alcohol sponge and pretty you all up for your beau, hmm?
And for the new doctor. All right, Miss Mack. You're awfully sweet. I wonder what he's like. He's an older man, I think. He's a teacher as well as a very eminent surgeon.
And at the little airport, Dr. Anthony Loring turns from the telephone, annoyance and anger in his eyes, his voice controlled as he says to the young woman in the immaculate white linen suit,
"No word of any kind reached the hospital from Dr. Humphreys."
"I'm sorry, Dr. Loring."
"I'm very sorry, too. This is quite an awkward situation, Dr. What's your name? You told me I know, but..."
"Allison Shaw."
"Dr. Shaw. Well, we'd best get to the hospital. My car is outside. Here, let me have your bag."
"I'll carry this one, thank you."
"Very well."
"Is it far to the hospital?"
20 miles."
"Oh.
Here's my car."
"Thank you." "I brought back all the pictures and history that you sent to Dr. Humphreys."
"Thank you."
"It's a remarkably interesting case."
Yes, it is."
"I'm sorry Dr. Humphrey's letter was mislaid. I'm sorry that my being a woman was such a shock to you."
"Please, Dr. Shaw, let's not discuss it. Let it go. Just let it go. Do you mind?"
No, of course not."
"To be quite honest with you, I'm dismayed that Dr. Humphreys feels that this case..."
"Dr. Humphreys had a stroke, Dr. Loring."
"Oh?"
"We don't want publicity about it, so we're not announcing it."
"I see."
"I'm his assistant. He thinks very highly of me. And believe me, he wouldn't send me to you for this case if he didn't. I can accept your behavior so far as disappointment goes, but I will not accept implied or spoken criticism of Dr. Humphreys."
"I beg your pardon. I've been rude to you. I didn't know about the stroke. How bad is it?"
"Not very bad. Sufficient, however, to make it necessary for him to be very careful, to rest for a long time. He sent me many messages for you. When you feel better, I'll give them to you."
"Thank you."
"Also, when you feel better, I'll present you with all my qualifications for this job. I've been through this before, this dismay at my being a woman doctor. I've seen the look of doubt, distrust. So I'm toughened to it. And I can still do a good job, even in the face of it."
"I'm rather at a loss for words, Dr. Shaw."
"Perhaps that's just as well, Dr. Loring. I can't conceive of our having a very pleasant conversation anyway, so just attend to the driving. I'll doze. I'm a little short on sleep lately."
And Dr. Allison Shaw leans her closely cut, curly brown head on the back of her car seat, closes her eyes, and dismisses Dr. Loring from her mind. How will she be received by young Widder Brown?